Hello everyone, this is Ed Pisani with Business and Social Interviewing by Ed Pisani. Today I have a great guest. Her name is Hannah Cruz. She is an artist that's going to school at Full Sail University, and she does a lot of commission work as well. I'm excited to have her talk to us today about everything that's happening in her life and in her art community. So I welcome artist Hannah Cruz.
Hi, thank you for having me on today.
Oh, you're welcome, Hannah. Thank you for being on. First off, congratulations on being enrolled at Full Sail University. That is great news.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't exactly hard to get in, but then I am excited. I'm very excited.
Cool. So just to start off, to bring everyone up to speed on your story, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you started in art?
Oh, yeah. Well, like a lot of other artists, I'm pretty sure everyone started like doing art as a kid. But for me, I come from like a Asian background, and my parents really didn't want me to do art. So I was not allowed to do art for a really long time.
What did your parents want you to do? They wanted you to be a doctor or something along that line?
Not even a doctor. I just needed to be a nurse.
Really? That's interesting. So, like, you're saying your parents fit a little bit of a stereotype of what some comedians say that's out there?
Oh, it's definitely the stereotype for Filipinos. 100%. Because my dad is an RN as well. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's cool. So, tell me more about your story. I didn't mean to cut you off. That was just really interesting.
You're good. Yeah, but, so for up until, like, high school, I would actually just draw sometimes when I was in class. But, you know, I'd have to throw it away because then I couldn't bring it home because I would get, like, you know, the beatings. You know, it's like, because I'm Asian and Spanish, so it's worse. So, but,
That's true. Like, I mean, the Spanish have that guilt, and I think the Asian have the guilt. So, lay it on thick.
Yep, they got the metal spatula. But anyways,
my family had the wooden spoon. Oh, so I guess that's the difference between Italian households and like Asian households. Is like battle equipment they bring to kids.
Yeah, when you get tetanus, when you get splinters. But
what one doesn't break? Yeah. The wood breaks. Just
Oh yeah, that's true. Oh my gosh, still hurts, damn.
yeah, right.
Oh my god, but yeah,
but so, we digress, continue.
Yeah, but yeah, so when I actually, because then there was this artist, or I guess he's not really an artist, he's more of a, he was actually a graphic designer, and he also did he did UX design for a company, but he wanted to start his own comics like business. He wants to start his own studio.
Nice.
So then he actually saw my work on DeviantArt, and then he really wanted me on as an artist. So I decided to go ahead and take that contract. It was actually my very first contract. So I wanted to go ahead and do it, but then I couldn't because I was still a minor, and so I needed my permission from my parents, and my parents got super mad, and so I wasn't able to join that.
I guess my question for you, Hannah, is from when you started doing artwork, just like as just practicing and doing whatever you thought made you feel good, to the point where you got your first commission, how much time passed before that all happened?
Well, it was like after I got out of high school and I was doing college, I actually did my first convention in 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just this local convention over in Orlando, and then there was some people who really liked my work, and they would actually pay me real money, and I was like, wow, this is amazing.
People pay me to do things I like to do? Yeah.
Yeah, they're paying me $40-$50 to do a pencil drawing. That's pretty awesome. So, and oh my gosh, my art back then was terrible. Oh my god, I didn't know anything about anatomy. Oh, it's so bad, and it's oof. Anime influences everywhere, but yeah, but it was fantastic. Just people were super excited about my artwork, and it just like made me want to practice more and get better. So I would actually do conventions like almost every year for like the next 4 or 5 years, actually,
That's cool.
from that point, yeah.
So you did it more or less when you were like middle school or high schooler, and then you got your first paid commission when you were like just starting college, after high school-ish.
Yeah.
And so you had mentioned that you did anime. Is that where you get your inspiration initially from, or where do you get inspired to draw stuff?
Well, like, yes, I started off with some anime, but then, there's the comics form of that, which is just Japanese comics. That's called manga. So I got inspiration from a lot of, like, Japanese comics. However, I actually built, like, a lot of my foundation from independent American comics, ironically. So just because I didn't. Because then after like that whole phase of like going through anime and whatnot, I really wanted to become serious in doing comics. So there is a company that's called Image Comics, and I really wanted to work for them. So then there's like a couple artists like Chris Visions. There's, let's see, what's his name? There's also Ryan Love and all these other artists that are fantastic, fantastic artists in Image Comics. And I really just took after their style. Like, I would just practice, like, doing some of, like, just the figures and people. I would just copy, actually. Because, I mean, that's the fastest way to learn, is to copy something. Obviously, you don't, like, take credit for the work, but then you just practice. It's just a lot of hours of practicing.
So it's kind of
Like,
muscle memory in your hands and like how you do like maybe a stroke. What type of medium do you generally work with? Do you work with like chalk or pencils or paintbrushes?
Well, I actually love doing ink work with a brush pen, and then I also love using charcoal because then it's extremely expressive. Like, even though there's no color, like, because then I'm still like trying to learn color myself, like color theory, but then I just love line weights and having good contrast in images. And some of the best ways to do that is through black and white images and just doing it with like the chalks and whatnot, like charcoal. And those two mediums are really messy, but then they provide the most expression. And
I
then, but now,
see.
yeah. But nowadays I just do digital work because it's easier.
So when you say digital work, what do you mean? Like, are you using like what type of types of tools?
Oh yeah, I've actually been working on Photoshop. Like, I do some of my coloring in there, but then I work in a program called Krita, and I would go ahead and do most of my drawings there because the brush engine is fantastic. And I have a monitor, a second monitor that's one that you can draw on top of, and it's called a Wacom Cintiq. And I'm pretty sure like all artists that are worth their salt, they know what that is because that's like the $1,000 monitor thing. I got mine on sale, but
You still have one, and that's all that matters. I mean, like in my office, I have four monitors, simply because I like to spread stuff out. I'm one of those people that just has different things at different stages all over the place on the different screens. But I kind of like the fact that you use two monitors and you have like the better quality equipment. If someone was about to get started and said, you know, I want to follow Hannah's blueprint of success, what are two things they could get if they were on a shoestring budget that you're like, you really should have these items?
Oh man, just get lots of paper and pencil. That's where it begins, honestly. It's just like you just need to like learn the foundations. Every artist will tell you learn the foundations, but it's true. You really have to. You have to learn how to create good compositions within an image, which I mean, photography helps with that too. And I know you're a photographer actually,
Oh
because you're so.
I love it. I love that medium.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's good like quick snapshot, and it's good to practice like that skill with photography. But then in terms of drawing, it translates well because then you have to know like how to put like certain plate like objects in the image. So you need to learn that. You need to learn anatomy, especially if you're going to be doing anything professional. That's like straight up, you have to learn anatomy of people and animals. And then you also have to just learn how to be consistent. And there's a lot of people who don't really know like their style, and there's nothing wrong with changing your style. It's a natural evolution. But then you have to have like a consistent level of workmanship or craftsmanship.
Okay. Well, I think that goes with anything. You have to just put the time and effort in to practice and get better and better and better at your given craft. I mean, anyone could be doing that in any field. Like if you're public speaking or if you're a journeyman electrician or an artist like yourself, everyone has to put that time and effort in to get good. I guess the question I have is, because this is dealing with a little bit of business in the show, what are three things that absolutely, if you wanted to get involved in like the art industry, you should try to avoid doing that, like people have messed up time and time again. What are some things that you would share to say, don't do that? That's a bad idea, especially if you're starting out.
Well, it's like believing that there's only one path to doing it, honestly. Because then there's some people that get super hung up on like, what kind of like materials do I use? What kind of school should I go to? What kind of technique should I use? And there are some shortcuts to like getting better. And it's like it's not, like the best shortcut is kind of like the long way around. You have to like be a well-rounded artist, but then there's no secret like sauce, unfortunately. You just have to work really hard, but you have to find your own way, because then every person has experiences that are different and will like that will affect your art style, and that will affect your influences and content wise too, because that's what makes you interesting as an artist. So you can't like negate that by trying to copy someone else entirely, but do experiment. So
Gotcha.
that's one of, yeah, so that's one of them. But then another one is don't be afraid to put your stuff out there, even if it's bad, honestly. Just go for it. Don't let fear stop you.
That's a great piece of advice because I mean, so many people in any industry need to sort of know that you're only going to get better over time, and like where you are today is not where you'll be tomorrow. Like, I think I was fortunate when I started to get into doing work myself as an entrepreneur. I came in at like a really bad time of the economy. So everything since then has been kind of uphill. And I mean, when you're down at the bottom and like things are like looking pretty dire, people's homes are being taken, they're not releasing credit in any form or fashion. You're like, okay, I got to do this on like a shoestring. I got to fight every day and commit to doing what I need to do to be successful. I think you nailed it when you said go the long way around. So it brings me up to another thing. Since you have a talent, and you said you got commissioned to do comic books, what type of genre did you do for your comic books?
Well, like I started my first comic book commission that I did was for an action sequence. So I was just doing like it's really basic, so it wasn't anything like super heavy into like drama or like that. But then once I did go into the drama, like when I got commissioned to do like a drama piece, oh, it was so much fun. I realized that I really love being able to portray like tense moments. Just like even though there's not a lot of like action happening in the scene, but like being able to make the character act in the way that like fully utilizes the words that are on the page, and being able to manipulate the composition of the page to reflect that feeling of like dread or sadness. That was fantastic.
So, what type of time period was this action comic book in? Was it like the Game of Thrones time period, or was it another time?
Oh, it's just like a superhero comic. So it's like kind of modern day type of thing. So, you have like computers and cell phones and whatnot. So nothing crazy. And then superpowers. So I guess it could be the near future, because then they have like crazy ships that can go to like other planets.
Gotcha. Yeah,
So
we don't have those
yeah. Not
yet.
quite.
Yeah. We I think a few years ago there was someone that was trying to get people to volunteer to go live on Mars. I don't think that
Oh
ever happened
yeah.
though.
And they're still gonna try, you know
Yeah,
that.
it's true. So you said you did a drama piece. Was that also kind of the same like element of a comic book?
It was a separate comic. It was like what they call anthologies. So it's like a small piece that goes within a bigger like series that other they usually invite a lot of other artists to go ahead and work in. So it was, let's see, I forget the name of it, but then I could like send a link to it. However, it was just like a story about these two siblings that were just like it was like a piece of remembrance from their past, and then also how different their future is now, and just the present time, and just the differences, and just how different the two became. So
Interesting.
it was a really sad thing, like how like the siblings like grew apart, and it was really fun to work on.
Well, I'm glad you had a chance to work on that. That's really kind of cool that you bring that up. I guess my other question is, like, did you ever see yourself some point in the future creating your own comic book and coming up with your own version of the Avengers or Superman or something along that line? Or is that like not it, any interest of you at all?
No, I've been really wanting to work on a comic, and I actually have like some comic pages up online right now.
Really, where are they
However,
at?
yeah, if you go onto Webtoons or if you go to Tapas, those two websites, they have my comic Quorum, which I'm hoping to post the rest of it this year before like I finish like or f before I finish my first year of school. Just since I have the pages done, I wanted to go ahead and put it out there, but it's a story. It's a fantasy story that surrounds like this father of two girls, and it's like deals with the supernatural, like demons and monsters and such from like various legends. But it has that background, but then it's it revolves around the drama of the family and how he needs to try to protect them from like all the crazy that goes on within his job, because then he's a monster hunter. So,
I see. So
yeah.
that's an interesting plot line. Was that inspired by like movies like Van Helsing or anything, or did you just kind of imagine it up in a different way?
No, yeah, it's inspired, yeah, because then things like Van Helsing or, what are the, there's lots of different series that have that. But it's inspired by that, and also inspired by a few different like manga pieces, like Monster or even Bloody Monday. So there's like a ton of different pieces that it draws some inspiration from, and it really like rings true to like I like having that backdrop just because it's a lot of fun. You can do a lot of like cool action sequences with it, but then at the end of the day, it's inspired by like some of the family drama that I've dealt with, because it's just like it kind of is a small reflection of my family and what
Interesting.
we've had to deal with, even like without the monsters, obviously.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of very famous books that kind of address like someone that was in the writer's life. Like in one of them, it was like a father, and the father tried his hardest, but was never like that super successful person, and how they morphed a character into being the successful person they always want to be in life. And then there was other ones. I think there was a movie that like Tom Hanks was in about Disney, how he got one of the cartoon characters under the Disney umbrella. And like the story that the author had, it was a woman, and how much ownership she had of it.
Oh, yeah, that was actually for the Mary Poppins one. Saving Mr. Banks, that's the movie.
Yes, Saving Mr. Banks,
Yep.
which is kind of interesting. Like it's amazing how people use their own personal life experiences in so many different facets. I can't speak today. I'm on a radio show. I can't speak.
It's all good.
Like for like making an impression or doing what they want to achieve. It's kind of nice, and it's kind of nice to hear those stories of like people that have those interests, and to see that they're being tied in business, and that's where the passion lies. Because we're live in a wonderful country that's like a first world problem style country. Like, should we go have a hamburger tonight or deep fried potato chips? Like, just dipped in chocolate. I mean, it's a great problem to try to solve. And like to sort of see that, like how we're influencing society with things that happen in our lives in a positive way, and sometimes negative, unfortunately. But so that's cool. So tell me a little bit more about this.
about
The
the
book, the comic,
oh
the comic
oh about
book.
the comic. Yeah. Well, for this like first like chapter, it kind of alludes to some of the trials that the two sisters would have to encounter in like their future, because this is essentially Quorum is actually a prologue to the main story, Rain, which follows one of the sisters, the younger one. Her name is Harina, and her like journey through life. But it follows like the Quorum first chapter follows this man, Tobias, and he is trying to find the monsters that had killed like this town of like 250 people. So he's trying to like discover why or how like they died or they disappeared, because then he actually can't find like any of their bodies. So yeah, so it's like weird.
It's
So
almost like a
they're
post-apocalyptic thriller in a way.
yeah, because I like having like twists of mystery with like, because then that's what keeps it interesting, honestly, when you have like some kind of like story that involves like a problem to be solved or such.
Yeah, or who is this person that they tell me nothing
Yeah.
about?
Yeah, whodunit?
It's kind of cool that you have that mindset. It sounds like you're not only an artist, but you're also a bit of a storyteller. Is this something that you have a partnership with, or is this just solely Hannah Cruz does it all?
Well, at least in my like in with this one's all me, cousin. It's just been a story that it has been baking for a really long time, so it's ready. It's time to take it out of the oven. But
Cool.
yeah, I'm hoping that in the future I will be able to work with my wife Danielle Wallace, because she's also an artist and writer, and we have come up with some fantastic stories together that we want to share with the world, and so that will hopefully come with me, like, after I learn how to do all this animation stuff at Full Sail, I want to be able to have these short, like, films that I can be able to animate.
Nice.
Yep.
So, I guess that opens a door. You said you're married. I always like to ask the question to the people that are married, how do you know your significant other was the one?
I didn't know. I mean, this story. Well, it's like, because then we first met when we were in college. It was our spring semester of our first year, and we were in drawing class, but I actually didn't like her at all. And I honestly didn't like or notice at least anybody, because I was just trying to keep my head down, because I was still supposed to be doing nursing classes at this point. And then,
Okay.
yeah, so I'm taking like 24 hours of like nursing, and then my one me class that I get to kind of sneak in there. So I'm just like trying to like get as much like information as possible, because I want to take it seriously. I'm just trying to figure out how to like convince my parents. But so then she's there, and she like is talking with everyone in the class, and I'm just like, that's really annoying. Stop talking during class. But she went ahead and took me out. Like, she actually invited me to go take her out to Taco Bell, and I was like, okay, I guess I will pay for you then. So she forced me to go out with her. So we just like hung out and got to know each other, and it was great.
That's cool. And it's kind of good that, it's not just always one partner that's kind of like pulling the rope. It's sort of like sometimes that, they're say like, "Hey, I really like you. I want you to go on a date with me. Thank you very much."
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Ironically, I met my wife online on eHarmony back before they changed the platform, and it was a test style. And we had a lot of the values in line and a lot of things in common. So we went on our first date. It lasted for like 6 hours. It was like unbelievably long. We went to a Borders Books that doesn't even exist anymore, and then we went
Oh
to
wow, Borders.
yeah.
God.
Then we went to like Cheesecake Factory and talked to Cheesecake Factory. Then we went to see a movie. Then we went out for a glass of wine. We went for a walk in a park. I mean, it was just like one thing after the other, and just talking. And it was like great to have that type of that connection. And I don't know, did you go on a super long date the first time, or was it just like kind of like, yeah, 2 hours together and keep it kind of chill, not go extreme?
Oh, for like, well, our first date, I guess our first date was technically just like hanging out in the car, but I know for our first anniversary, I went all out on that sucker. So I went to like a really fancy place over in Winter Springs, I believe, and we went out and went to like this really expensive like single sheet, like this is the meal that we're having tonight type of place.
Nice.
So where they change the menu like every night basically. So we did that and she did not like the meal, which was fantastic. And, but at least the dessert was good, which was fantastic. But then we went to just walked around there and it was really pretty. Like because then our anniversary falls on New Year's Eve. So then they had like all the Christmas lights up still, so we were able to just like walk around and see some really nice like views. And they had a tree up and it was really pretty. So that was a good like 5 or 6 hour ordeal, kind of ordeal, but
Nice.
it was good. It was really memorable.
Yeah, I kind of like the fact that being in a relationship, I know we totally left the business aspect of our conversation behind, but I really kind of like the aspect of you when you have someone that you sincerely love and you're in a great relationship with, you could just sort of chill and be like, we're just gonna do something easy tonight. You know what? We're gonna hang in, or let's go shopping for sheets for the bed. And it's like that's kind of fun and nice and easygoing. I think there's a little bit too much of the movies where it always has to be super gooey, lovey-dovey type of stuff, but reality doesn't really dictate that, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just being able to have like the small moments or time together, because then we enjoy just going shopping together, like for groceries, like basic adulting things, but we enjoy doing it together.
Yeah, when my daughter was born, that was a big thing. We got out of the house and we're like, we're gonna go shopping at Kohl's. And
Freedom.
it's like it was beautiful. Now back to your career. What made you choose Full Sail, and like what major are you like targeting that you want to take advantage of in the future?
Well, at Full Sail, I'm majoring right now in 3D animation. So I wanted to like alongside like the whole like thing with animating, it had come from me loving to make characters like perform, making like the moments where they're like just the tension and the feelings. I want to express that in the characters. So then I figured that 3D animation's a great way to go, and I've always wanted to learn ever since I was like little. And you watch like Finding Nemo and all that kind of stuff, Toy Story, and then how much emotion they can like bring to the character. And they're just digital puppets basically, but it's fantastic just to see that so well done. I wanted to do something like that, and I turned to Full Sail because then it was between like Full Sail and Ringling, but then Full Sail is a little bit closer and it allows us to be in the area still, because then otherwise I would have to move across the state
Gotcha.
over
Now,
there.
is Ringling like a circus school? Like, what is
Oh.
Ringling?
It's Ringling College of Design and Art, and it's definitely for like an art school.
Okay.
It's actually a big art school that a lot of students go, and they go to work at Pixar. So Pixar has heavy influence at the Ringling like school.
Gotcha.
So
Gotcha.
yeah.
Well, I think Full Sail is a big winner because everything I've seen of your drawings, and I know Hannah personally, are outstanding. So Full Sail is going to have a real feather in their cap to say this is one of our alumni when you finish up and graduate from their school.
Oh man, I really hope so, because I just really want to like start in the industry and like be able to make a difference and make some really good stories and movies. That's what I really want to do.
Nice, nice. Well, I think you're gonna do it, and I know that this episode on this program, people are gonna look back to and say this is what it's like for someone that's up and coming in the business world in a different style career. And if I put my effort and my energy forward, I could be successful too. I think we don't have enough positive role models that say like you got to put the time and effort in life.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, it's all just hard work, and then you have to make everyone around you see it, and other people get inspired by that hard work that and that work ethic that you put out. So everyone performs better when you just all work together really hard.
This is true. This is true. I try to bring a sense of humor to the office because, like, for me, it's just like you can work hard, and when you're a business owner, you can get stressed out real easy. But if you just try to keep everything in a light, friendly manner, or just try to break up the pressure with like a slight joke, that might not even make any sense, and people are like, "What did you just say?" And you know, you get people giggling and laughing, and now the pressure is gone a little bit for a little while, because in some industries, as you know, there's deadlines and you got to hit those deadlines. So, well, this was an outstanding episode, Hannah Cruz. Just for those folks that are listening in today, I wanted you to have a chance to share where they can see some of your artwork. So, if you have some websites that you can point them to check you out and maybe ask you to draw some pictures for them and get paid for it. That'd be cool.
Oh yeah, you can always visit my Instagram. I go by the name of Dracorium, Dracorium, and that's my username for like all platforms on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram. So if you just look that up, you'll be able to find me. And that's also my Twitch handle, which I'm actually going to be streaming. And while I'm going through Full Sail, especially for those that are starting out and they don't know which kind of school to go to, they can actually see my experience at Full
Nice.
Sail and what kind of projects I'll be doing. So I'm planning to be streaming like my project workload, and you can always just hang out with me while I'm working on like all sorts of different things, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of mesmerizing to watch someone just draw stuff. I remember the guy from the 1980s with the big afro. He lived like in the Orlando area, believe it or not. And how he would draw pictures and he would make fluffy little clouds and like he had a very
Oh
soft voice.
yeah. Yep, Bob Ross all the way.
Yeah, Bob Ross, that's it, that's him. But how like interesting it was to see him evolve like nothing into something beautiful.
Yep. He did some really nice stuff.
Well, again, thank you for being on the show today. Again, this is Business and Social Interviews by Ed Bazzani Jr. And we had the artist Hannah Cruz on, and I hope everyone, if it's morning, day or night, where you're at, you enjoy the show and keep on tuning in and sharing the show and downloading the show so everyone can enjoy it that you know. With that, I hope you have a wonderful day.